from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad on a programme that's going to be definitely different. That was quite good. Definitely different. Yeah, definitely different. That's the one that we're looking for. My name's Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains, over here in the east of Slovakia, in the town of Poprad. That's why we call it Postcard from Poprad, would you believe? This programme this week is going to be a bit different. I will explain in a second why and how. But before that, we've also got Jan Talensky on the programme this week, talking about Manchester United coming to play Sparta Prague. So we'll give you all the details of that shortly. We're also have Petra in the room. Hello. She's here, Lee.
Hello.
Hello, Lee.
Hello, Petra.
It's not going to be funny today.
I'm not going to be funny. I'm just going to be lustful.
Yeah, right.
We don't want Eric here, do we?
No, we just want me and Petra.
Right, here we go. Anyway, Rach is somewhere in Sydney. We don't know quite where. If she can find an internet connection, we'll say hello to her. But currently, we can't find her. Which is a bit difficult, really, when she's...
Well, it's a big country, isn't it, Australia? Well, it's easy enough to get lost.
Well, I was going to say how many kilometres it was away, but I can't do that. I'll have to go with it's about 24 hours away.
It's 24 hours from me, too, you know.
Is it? 24
That's a long
hours
way.
From Tulsa.
From Rachel.
Anyway, hi to the guys over in America, Talk Radio X, on the breeze and replay and everywhere else. And you lovely folks on RTI listening on your mobile apps as you're walking down the road. And believe it or not, I wish this was television today. I really do. Petra's eating pizza.
Jesus,
you're not supposed to say that.
So anyway, before further ado, I took a little drive over to Prague and I met up with Jan Talensky, and this is how it went. Manchester United coming to Poprad again. What's going on?
Well, on the 30th of October, my team, Sparta Prague, is playing against Manchester United on the brand new stadium in Aqua City, which is where my dream has come through. My dream was to build a football stadium for Manchester United, which is now owned by the Slovak Football Federation, which will be the first one in Europe heated by the geothermal waters, which not only supply Aqua City with all the energy, but now also supply the energy for the most beautiful and the highest quality grass on which Manchester United will be playing against my team on the 30th of October.
That freaked me out the other day because I drove past the stadium. It was minus 10 at night. All the grass around, you know, the river and everywhere else was covered in frost. And yet these guys were spraying water on a pitch which should be frozen, but it wasn't frozen. And I had to look at it and I'm going, what? It was just didn't make sense to me. So where is this underground heating? How does it work?
It works that it's 21 centimetres under the surface of the grass, and the geothermal water heats glycol. So there's two layers of pipe. One is our hot water, and the other one is glycol, because glycol freezes at minus 50 and keeps the temperature much more constant. So even if there is a frost in High Tatras, the grass will still be perfect. If it snows, rollers will roll the snow on the grass, which melts and automatically will provide also the water and the moisture for the grass, so it'll grow all year round. We've already cut it four times.
The other interesting thing for me, being as my ancestry takes me back to Scotland, is at the time Sparta Prague and Manchester United Youth come out, there's going to be a special treat for Poprad, isn't there? The way from Luton.
Well, the treat is that the youth, the under-21 team, is all the work which Sir Alex Ferguson created in the academy. And what I want to do is that whilst he's no longer in charge of Manchester United, a bit of a Scotland will remind people that this was the great man who has created a first-class academy in the world. And from now on, every time Manchester United will play in Aqua City, there'll be Scottish band and Scottish pipers reminding the great man who made it all possible.
So you've actually got an award-winning band from Luton in Bedfordshire coming out to Poprad to effectively, as the Scots would say, pipe in the teams.
Absolutely. They will march, they will do a concert in the town, and they will welcome the players, and they will do a parade on the stadium just before the match.
And so what day is this all happening? Give us the dates, we need to know.
There's two matches. One is against Ružomberok in Ružomberok, where the youth team, the under-21s, are playing, the team from Ružomberok. And then the second match is on the brand new stadium, which also has a hotel where the players will stay, has a VIP, has a restaurant. And the second match on the 30th of October will be the very first international match played on that stadium after its completion.
Now, this is phase one completion, so don't forget, boys and girls, in your diary, 30th, you got to get a ticket. But then that's phase one only, and I gather that you're bringing another little bit of England to the second phase of the stadium build, aren't you?
Yes, the second phase will commence in the springtime, hopefully finished in May, June, and then the stadium will be completed for 7,000 members of the audience. And we are planning a charity match in May or June for the veterans of Chelsea, Manchester United, the top players, which were the greatest players for the past 20 years.
And I gather we could have a drink in the Wembley Way Bar.
The Wembley Way Bar, I don't think, will be completed, but it certainly will be completed by this time next year. And in that will be a two-story sports bar, 40 screens, and the centrepiece will be Sir Alec Ferguson Bar.
Beautiful. Leanne, I look forward to seeing you on the 30th.
Look forward to seeing you.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-E-I.
Now you know all the answers.
That's really interesting, really good.
Yeah, really. So that's the 30th Sparta Prague, playing in the brand new stadium here in Poprad, which I have to say does look like Chelsea Village for some reason. I have no idea why that is, Mr. Talensky, but I'm sure it'll be marvellous. And the other thing I will say is the other night they were testing the floodlights here. Now, I would not call them floodlights, Lee. I
why?
Would call them daylights.
Daylights? Why? Because they light up the whole world?
Literally. Literally. They turned the floodlights on for the first time, and my office lit up like a Christmas tree. The lights are so bright, and I'm about 500 metres away, I guess, that I could turn the lights off in the office and still see what I was doing. It was so bright. And Petra, you got pizza all over your cheeks.
Oh, Petra, come on.
Nice.
We must, before we carry on, we must give our sincere condolences to everybody down in Australia.
Absolutely,
the fires
yeah.
are still going on, lots of uncontrollable ones, lots of scaremongering about what happened. All I will say to anybody who's listening down there on your Windows 8 app, just tell anybody around. You know, I'm a smoker and I shouldn't do it, but if you're out and about in the bush areas, don't have a cigarette and throw the butt away. In fact, just don't have a cigarette there at all, because it's just not, it's dangerous at the moment. It's not logical, and you can hurt people's lives from it as well.
It's quite terrifying, though, what's going on, because those fires are still almost uncontrollable. That's gone on for a long time.
I think it was 9 when I last checked, but anyway.
Yeah.
Also, congratulations to Prince George, christened this very week. What a stunning little fella he is. Good grief. The pictures were just stunning. Absolutely stunning. Obviously going to be brought up well because he was smiling.
They were nice pictures, I must admit. They were nice pictures. I'm not very much into babies, but they were quite impressive pictures, I must admit. And the nice little story about the christening dress as well.
Yes. Well, you like babies on toast, don't you?
I prefer them, boiled.
Well done.
Well done. Like when they're grown up or something. Anyway.
Babies should be born at 27 years old with their own car, their own house and their own children.
And job.
And blast. Yeah.
And don't ask for pocket money.
And donuts.
Donuts. Don't ask for pocket money. Mum, me computer's gone wrong. Mum, me phone's run out of credit. Is that about
right?
And
they're terrible creatures, children, when you think, aren't they?
Yeah.
How can you say that?
I pity your poor motherly. She had to put up with you. Anyway, the programme with a difference this week, because we were concerned that Rach wasn't going to be able to join us, and so we came up with this innovative idea.
He calls desperately different.
Desperately different. Innovative. That's a better word. So in control of the programme this week, and we would love your feedback on this, boys and girls. Please do get in touch and tell us what you think. So in control this week is Petra, aren't you?
Am I?
Yeah.
She is.
Since when?
Since you have got a dessert bowl in front of you with bits of paper that you've written things down on, which you don't know which one's which now, because they're all random. And so she's going to throw a topic at us, and Lee and I have to debate this topic until we get bored or say something like...
When I tell you to stop it.
Yes, something like that. So, number one coming up. Are you ready, Lee?
I think I possibly am.
Here we go.
I just think she's been very masterful, isn't she?
She doesn't want that one for some reason.
You can't do that, Petra.
Right, she likes this one, so here we go.
That's a dictatorship.
It is, he's a girl.
Yeah.
What's one of your favourite questions to ask, new friend, or to get the conversation going?
Hey, is that like a chat-up line?
Sort of. I mean, it's a really good question. So what's the sort of most common question we would use to start a conversation or get to know somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Or get the conversation going if it's dying.
Oh, yeah, if it's dying. Yeah, see, like if you're at a dinner party and it's gone all... You want to get... Lee, have you got one of them?
No! I'm just thinking. Well, Eric never shuts up. He goes on and on and on. He'll cover that. He'll think of something. What the hell do I help the conversation at a dinner party?
No, just trying
to start it with. So if I was there in a room with a larger lady, say, for instance, say she was, you know, attractive, but a little bit on the heavier side, I would open the question. I would open up the conversation with something like,
I know. That's all right, Lee. I understand. You would say, which gym do you use?
Mine was funnier than that. I'd say, I'd just be polite. Just say, ask somebody's name. Ask them what the name is. And what's your name then? My name is Lee G. Banks. What's your name then? Things like that. And how old are you? Are you married? Well, shall we disappear then? Things like that.
What is the size of your bra?
Yeah, that's about right for Lee.
What size of your bra?
That's about right for Lee. That's more like... Oh, we got bored with that one. We're moving on,
Lee.
Okay.
I thought we just got that going then.
I thought we did. I just wondered if it was an American bra.
No.
You're getting naughty. Stop it.
You know what an American bra is, don't you?
No.
One yank and it's off.
Okay.
Sorry, America.
Serious one now.
In German, you know what? This is the word for a bra is in German.
Go on.
Bustenhalter.
That's not in German.
So it's a bust holder.
It's a bus holder.
Yeah, it's a bust holder. Yeah, translated.
And windscreen wipers are flip and flop and muck and shred and stuckens.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and the pink elephants are just coming out of your German dictionary.
Yeah, and if it's a German you're talking to at this party, you have to say, Du bist mein kleiner Kartoffel. Du bist mein Spiegelgesicht.
Would you buy a used car from Lee?
No, you are my little potato. You are my lullium face.
You're right. Now I understand why you didn't get any beer when you were asking this German guy in Poprad for a beer.
We got on really well after I called him my little onion.
Right, moving along.
Okay, so the next one is violence. Isn't violence sometimes necessary?
Isn't violence sometimes necessary?
I would say categorically yes.
Why?
Because...
hang on a minute, that wasn't that wasn't on the question. You just... You got... Is she allowed follow-up questions?
No, she, no. And that foreplay only, Petra.
So is violence sometimes necessary?
It depends what... In war, violence is necessary, but is war necessary?
Well, I'll give you a perfect example of some violence that I think was necessary.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Right.
These yobbos were trying to break into a jeweller's in the UK. They were riding scooters, got sort of hammers, and the alarms went off. And they were not going to get into the jewellery shop. And this was all caught on CCTV. And there's this lovely old lady. She was about 70 years old. She came running across the road and started thumping these hoodlums around the head with her handbag. And I thought...
She should have been arrested.
That violence was brilliant, madam. I like that violence, madam. If it's the violence where you take the rubbish bin out, Eric... Or I will kick you. That's not good violence. No,
that's not. No,
no, no.
And if she actually did follow it up with a kick, then she should be arrested and put away for the rest of her natural life.
That's why I have to wear swimming trunks with legs, Lee.
Why?
Because she kicks me under the desk.
Well, that's better than in the. Exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Here's a true example of a violent situation, which I think is absolutely wrong, and it took place yesterday in Manchester at the airport.
Go on.
Now, and this is true. This is a true story.
I knew you were going to get the story in about your son coming home.
No, I wasn't even going to mention that. That wasn't a violent situation. We shook hands like grown-up men. Said, hello. And he said, hello, Daddy. And I said, are you okay, son? And he said, yes, I am, Dad. Shall we go for a gin and tonic, a G&T? I said, yes, let's go. So we went and had a G&T.
He calls you Lee.
I know, he does again now. Yeah. Anyway, no, this is a true story. Manchester Airport, bloke drunk on the plane, 52 years old, built like a brick outside house shed thing.
Yes.
Right? Drunk as a skunk, as most Mancunians are as they're flying back from Malta, because Mancunians are terrible for drinking, you know. And violence, drunken violence, terrible thing. Anyway, for some inexplicable reason, when he gets off the plane, he sees the captain of the plane, takes all his clothes off, threatens the captain and challenges him to a fight. Then his wife, right, very violently, slapped him round the face and said, grow up, stop being so stupid. Yeah. So... like a good boy, he put all his clothes back on and went to get his baggage. The police came up behind him in the baggage area and tasered him.
No!
Yes! He tasered him, and then he got a statutory, like, on-the-spot fine. What are you going to give somebody a statutory on-the-spot fine? You don't taser him. That's violence beyond the call of duty.
Yeah, I know. I have to say, I understand sometimes why, if it is in a just situation where, as we live in Poprad, there were some very nasty people in the 1940s who did need to be slapped around a bit because they were doing nasty things to people here, especially Jewish people. And I can kind of, I get into that. That makes sense to me. But the normal run-of-the-mill, you know, idiots running down the road and slapping some old person on the back of the head and carrying on running and thinking that's funny, that is just pathetic. So, no, I don't think violence is really good.
Violence should never be necessary. But also, I don't think the war should be necessary.
Hey, Petra's pizza is really, really, really nice.
Are you eating pizza now?
Yeah.
You're eating Petra's pizza on the air?
Yeah.
That, I think... Petra, you never let me eat your pizza.
Oh, I would. I don't eat the crust, so you could have the crust.
So I
see. I just get the hard bit.
Okay, my next question is, what do you think is one of the most undervalued profession nowadays?
Journalism.
Undervalued professions?
I've just answered it. Eric, I've just answered it.
Have you?
Not enough.
I just said it.
You can use just one word to
can
answer.
Can I have more than can I have more than one?
Syllables. You can have professions.
So professions. There's loads. There's loads. Policemen.
Why are they undervalued?
Because half the time they get abuse hurled at them. They often get injured when they're out there. Nobody says thank you. And half the time, they're doing very, very mundane things to hold things together. And do you know what? To be a policeman today, you've got to be a parental guidance controller, a marriage guidance controller, a driving officer. You've got to be so many things all wrapped up into one, because every time something goes wrong, people call the police and expect them to fix everything.
And also there are funny jokes about them.
Yes, that's true.
I have to temper your argument, if I may.
Go on, then.
Well, I agree with you. Policemen are a necessary evil in the world because of people, for instance, who create violent situations.
Mm-hmm.
But the word evil very often is quite operative in those circumstances. Mm-hmm. For instance, what about Hillsborough in the UK? What about
I understand what you're saying, Lee.
What about Fledgate? What about all these things that have gone on? Policemen are not undervalued. Sometimes I think policemen have devalued their job themselves. Why taser a bloke while he's trying to get his baggage?
No, but I think that's the end result of it, Lee, because they've been devalued for long enough that things start to go wrong.
And so they're just bad-tempered now.
Yeah, they are. And to be honest, if you remember when you were a kid, and we see that here, and I think it's wonderful, if on the rare occasion you see a sort of 18, 19-year-old that's drunk...
Yes.
A policeman would maybe clip them round the ear and tell them not to be stupid, and then threaten to take them home to their parents. Now, I'm not suggesting every police officer in every part of the world should go thumping teenagers around the ear. But
that's not a bad idea, as long as they're under age of 27 and have got their own homes and their own cars.
Well, yeah. But, you know, there's some logic in it.
I understand what you say.
Petra's bored again. She's reached for the bowl.
No. I'm just preparing, but I still want to know Lee's answer. You said what?
What?
He said journalists were undervalued.
Yeah. Journalists are
so
way
you
undervalued.
Say why?
Oh, no, actually, we're journalists. I agree.
we are the most maligned profession since prostitution.
Right.
Well, yeah. Prostitutes have got a bad reputation for doing the job well.
Right.
And journalists have got a bad reputation for doing their job well.
How too. Do you know prostitutions are doing their
job well? Well, yeah.
I ask you, Grant.
Okay.
Can I have another piece of pizza now?
Well,
no, you can't.
You eat while I read.
Should I tell the listeners what just happened to that microphone, why it went bump?
Did you hear anything?
It was a BB moment.
BB moment?
A BB moment.
What's that?
Be what? Between my boobs.
Oh, pizza. You're giving him your pizza and you're chopping his microphone between your boobs.
No, not my microphone.
I've got my own one.
She's got her own microphone.
Okay, shut up, you two, and listen to my question.
Oh, okay.
Marriage.
Marriage. What about marriage?
Do you think it's better to get married when you are young or better to wait a while? And there is else to it. What about same-sex marriage? So the first bit, young or older?
Older.
Same-sex marriage is that actually once you get married, sex just becomes the same every day anyway.
Okay, so it's so boring in your bedroom, yeah?
No, I didn't mean mine.
Well, you just said so.
No, it was a joke.
Everybody speaks their own experience.
I think if a couple want to affirm their relationship, as in same-sex marriage, girls or boys, and they want to affirm that in some kind of ceremony, flipping good luck to them.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. Yep.
As to the age thing, I think every boy should be allowed to be a boy racer, get his remote controlled helicopters out, everything like that, and then get married about 40.
and fly the helicopter on the top of the ironing board. Yeah? We're talking about Eric.
Boys and girls, I've got a new model radio-controlled helicopter, and I decided to start learning how to fly it in the house. So I managed to, it's really hard. After a while, I got this helicopter off the ground, and it was about to hit the ceiling, so I brought the throttle back a bit quick, and the helicopter landed on the T-shirt that Martina was ironing at the time. Oh. I then received one of those looks.
Killing ones.
Yeah. It burned right through the back of my head, at which point, within milliseconds...
That wasn't a look, that was the iron.
Within milliseconds, I'd hit the throttle again and got the helicopter out of the way very quickly.
Oh, gosh, Eric, that was so exciting.
Yes, it was.
I have one of those types of
stuff. Oh, you big kids.
Why? We've got to top each other.
Yeah, we're boys.
Yeah, we're boys. That's what boys do.
Yes. So you started it.
Stop it. You, asking questions.
But age thing, you started. Don't you blame us for this one.
Okay, so what is the outcome?
Well, I'm not like Eric. I don't brag about my boys' toys all the time. But as you just said, Eric, you have that aircraft thing, that helicopter, that remote controlled. I actually have a remote controlled flying shark.
Right.
Sharks don't fly.
It's true. £10 from the B&M shop in Newport.
So expensive.
Yeah, £10. And it's a blow-up shark that actually is about 4 foot long. Hmm. And then you have a remote control. Really big batteries in this remote control. I tell you, massive. I've never seen batteries like it. Anyway, then the shark flies round the room like it's swimming.
All right, I think Petra's bored. We're moving on.
Okay.
Oh, she's laughing now. Awek.
Awek.
The question is, does size matter?
It depends if you're talking about shirts.
Don't be dirty.
I said shirts or the pants department.
Or your trousers. Or your shoes.
The shoes, yeah, that indicates whether size matters.
There's no point in putting a hat on that's too big where it goes over your eyes, is there, for goodness sake?
I have size 13 feet, Petra.
So when you look at the woman, does size matter?
It depends if it changes size.
Yes, it could do. Yeah,
could do. That's what happens sometimes.
Give
it's
example.
Not rigor mortis, Eric. You think that's rigor mortis now, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Does size matter? This is another true story. A work colleague of mine from years and years ago, Steve, he was 6'8", and his partner was 4'11".
Oh, my God.
Like my first marriage. I was 6'5", and she was 4'10".
There you go, you see. So size doesn't matter, Petra.
But in Slovakia, he says in bed, it doesn't matter.
That's right, in bed it doesn't matter, because you all lay down.
Yeah, and you can all, yeah. But when you're out in the pub, 4'10" wife. Pot on head.
Right, no problem.
Yeah, but I think it matters, you know. It's different if you buy a buy a car, small one or a big one.
I've got a story now. What?
You're not being a journalist. This is clearly important to Petra. Size matters. For some reason that's inexplicable. Size seems to matter to Petra. We don't know why, Lee.
What's your shoe size?
Shoe size. Why shoe size? My shoe size is indicative of the size of my trouser department belt.
Yes. He's got size 13 shoes.
Yeah, I do. Unlucky for some, but really lucky for others.
You know how big a size 13 shoe is? This big.
It's like a boat.
It is like a boat.
Don't show me.
Because there was another reason why she wanted to know this.
In Slovakia, we say, look at the man's shoe size and you know the size of his...
Other parts.
Nose.
His nose, yes, nose.
Really?
No, not the nose.
We're moving along again. Oh, no, we can't. We'll have to save that for part two because we've run out of time in part one already. We'll be back in part two. Don't go away. Goodbye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.